in Spokane, and that's pretty good news with Shakespeare about to happen. And it's happening via a group called the Spokane Ensemble. Help me out. I wrote my Spokane Ensemble Theater. That is the name of it. That's putting on Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. It opens tomorrow night at the Max, 7 o'clock Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. And then there's a 5 p.m. Sunday performance also at the Museum of Arts and Culture outside in, I presume, that amphitheater that exists there. Chelsea Duvall is directing it. Is it in that kind of cool sunken amphitheater place?
Yeah, it is. It's a natural place, I think, to have theater in that space, right?
I've stared at it forever and never seen a play in there, so I think it's about time. And so even before we launch into Twelfth Night, first, welcome, Chelsea Duvall, the director of this. Just right off the bat, talk about using a space like that, because it's kind of, I think, grass on the bottom and then kind of big bunch of concrete steps kind of on the west side or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, amphitheaters are built to have productions or viewing, right? Mm-hmm. They do lots of music in that space from what I understand, and the amphitheater naturally gives some acoustic help, right? Because the things are rising up. I think the unique challenges you have with producing in that sort of venue is, A, it's outside, right? So that changes some technical elements of theater. But the greatest thing I think about this space, it feels so comfortable when you're sitting because of the grass. There's something very alive about the space. And then the stage is a bit, it's on concrete, so it's a bit uneven, which is a challenge, of course, for the actors in moving and such. But it feels natural as a place of performance, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, maybe with an uneven stage, it'll feel like they were shipwrecked and just just came up on the beach.
It's natural, yeah.
Something like that. So go ahead and give the overview of the play Twelfth Night, of the setting and the basic, kind of the elevator speech version of what is Twelfth Night.
The elevator speech. I mean, Twelfth Night is really a story about identity and discovery. A young woman washes ashore a strange land and must assume the guise of a male to stay safe and sort of survive. And along the way, she serves a duke whom she begins to have feelings for. And then, true to any Shakespeare, we introduce many characters, and there's lots of confusion and misappropriation of love. But of course, all is resolved, right, in the end.
Of course. So that leaves us plenty of departures for talking about it, but we need to get some sense of the play, too. Mm. You brought in three of the characters, three of the actors. And so go ahead and tell us about the scene that we're about to hear.
Yeah, so this scene is in the first act. It's the very third scene. It's the first scene, I think, that we really get to see characters versus company. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of infusion of company in the first two scenes. And this is really an introduction of who these people are. Two of them living in Olivia's household, which is one of the young countesses upon the island, and another is a visitor.
Okay. Well, let's bring Eli. Come back around here to the microphone, and we'll get into this scene. We begin with Robert Tomberry as Sir Toby, and then we'll hear Dana Salmond as Maria, and then we bring in Eli Drachella as Sir Andrew, will be the third voice we hear. So we move to that within our studio. So let's hear this scene from Twelfth Night.
What a plague means my niece to take the death of her brother thus. I'm sure care's an enemy to life.
By my troth, Sir Toby, you must come in earlier nights. Your cousin, my lady, takes great exception to your ill hours. You must confine yourself within the modest limits of order.
Confine? I'll confine myself no finer than I am. These clothes be good enough to drink in, and so be these boots, too.
That quaffing and drinking will undo you. I heard my lady talk of it yesterday, and of a foolish knight that you brought in one night here to be her wooer.
Who? Sir Andrew Aguecheek?
Aye, he.
He's as tall as any man in Illyria.
What's that to the purpose?
Why, he has 3,000 ducats a year.
Aye, but he'll have but a year in all these ducats. He's a very fool, gamble and a prodigal.
Fie that you'll say so. He plays the viol de gamboys and speaks three or four languages word for word, without book, and hath all the good gifts of nature.
He hath indeed, almost natural, for besides that he's a fool. He's a great quarreler, and, but that he hath the gift of a coward to allay the gust he hath in quarreling, 'tis thought among the prudent he would quickly have the gift of a grave.
By this hand, they are scoundrels and subtractors that say so of him. Who are they?
They that add, moreover, he's drunk, nightly, in your company.
With drinking healths to my niece, I'll drink to her as long as there's a passage in my throat and drink in Illyria. What, wench? Speak of the devil, for here comes Sir Andrew Agnewface.
Sir Toby Belch. How now, Sir Toby Belch?
Sweet Sir Andrew.
Bless you, fair shrew.
And you too, sir.
Accost, Sir Andrew, accost.
What's that?
My niece's chambermaid.
Good mistress, accost. I desire better acquaintance.
My name is Mary, sir.
Good Mistress Mary Accost.
You mistake, knight. Accost is front her, board her, woo her, assail her.
By my troth, I would not undertake her in this company. Is that the meaning of accost?
Fare you well, gentlemen.
Oh, knight, thou lack'st a cup of canary. When have I seen thee so put down?
Never in your life, I think, unless you see canary put me down. Methinks sometimes I have no more wit than an ordinary man has, but I am a great eater of beef, and I believe that does harm to my wit.
No question.
And I thought that I'd forswear it. I'll ride home tomorrow, Sir Toby.
Pourquoi, my dear knight?
What is pourquoi? Do or not do? I would I had bestowed that time in the tongues that I have in fencing, dancing, bear baiting. Oh, I'd have followed the arts.
Then hadst thou an excellent head of hair.
Why would that have mended my hair?
Past question, for thou seest it will not curl by nature.
But it becomes me well enough, dost not?
Excellent. It hangs like a flax on a distaff, and I hope to see a housewife take thee between her legs and spin it off.
Faith, I'll ride home tomorrow, Sir Toby. Your niece will not be seen of, or if she be, it's 4-1 she'll none of me. The Count himself here hard by woos her.
She'll none of the Count. She'll not match above her degree, neither in estate, years, nor wit. I've heard her swear it. Tut, there's life in't, man.
I'll stay a month longer. I am a fellow of the strangest mind in the world. I delight in masks and revels, sometimes altogether.
Art thou good at these revels, knight?
As any man in Illyria, whatsoever he be, under the degree of my betters. Faith, I can cut a caper.
Then I can cut the mutton to it.
And I think I have the back trick simply as strong as any man in Illyria.
Wherefore are these things hid? Wherefore have these gifts a curtain before them? My very walk should be a jig. I would not so much make water but in a syncopace. What dost thou mean? Is it a world to hide virtues in? I did think, by the excellent constitution of thy leg, it was formed under the star of a galliard.
Aye, 'tis strong, and it does indifferent well in a flame-colored stock. Shall we set about some revels?
What shall we do else? Were we not born under Taurus?
Taurus? That's sides and heart.
No, sir, it is legs and thighs. Let me see the caper. Higher. Excellent.
So there we have it. Well, let's just stay right there. You can both use that mic and just be available for it. But and actors, stay around so you can join in on this. So Chelsea, as you mentioned, this is where we're finding them as people. And then talk a little bit more. We've gotten some sense of it. There as people. There's going to need to be some conflict in all of this stuff coming along, and who feels what about whom and things like that. Talk a little bit more about where this scene sets that up and goes from there.
I think that this scene it mostly introduces Olivia, which is, I think, a large point of axis of conflict. One who is beloved by the Count, who is receiving no men because she's in mourning. And then also we have this suitor who comes to actually pursue her, which is already problematic. Mm-hmm. So I think the main function is it introduces these characters, which definitely also play to further tension later. They sort of have a plot against the famous Malvolio, or in our production, Malvolia. And so there's more, these three particularly have more conflict that they create. But I think the largest purpose is really to introduce Olivia as a source of tension and conflict within the play before we get to her. We hear about her, and we don't even get to her until scene five. But we hear about all of her mourning and rejection of men and how gracious and beautiful she is. And then we don't even see her until the fifth scene. So,
and it's really interesting hearing Shakespeare in the year 2021, and especially this scene. Come on, you're two dirty old men in the corner talking about the inappropriate things that dirty old men used to be considered fine to talk about that now kind of make us cringe a little bit right now. That's what just happened to me as I heard this. Talk about what you're reacting to that, but about the language that we somehow don't expect to hear in 2021 in a certain way. Why? They're dumbstruck.
Yeah. That's such a good question. I love it. I mean, it's this thing where Shakespeare is basically timeless. Like there's it was kind of dirty back then, probably.
Yeah,
very likely.
Kind of.
and it still is now. And I don't know. It's crazy that it still has this power to make you go ooh when you listen to them say these like really lewd innuendos and things like that.
Yeah.
And it's really fun to play with that on stage and kind of laugh at these men, especially that are talking like that to each other, and yeah, about that.
Yeah, that was Eli speaking about that. And so, what about Dana? How did it strike you? Because you open the scene and then you turn it over to them, and kind of what's going on in your mind as you're here. And now, are you still on stage hearing this, or have you left the stage at the moment that? You know, that they were saying that. Are you witnessing this conversation?
No, not. I'm there for the very beginning of it,
yeah.
But I do exit
you
before
exit.
They get to
yeah.
more of their sort of body talking.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Mariah actually sort of is part of the like guy gang, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
She is one of Olivia's ladies, but, you know, in the play, she really is more of a troublemaker and is sort of running around with the guys, causing mischief.
Mm-hmm. And then back to the kind of very beginning of the play. It's how do you pronounce her name? Viola. The woman who's
Viola. Yeah.
Viola. When is she part of this vibe going on? Or what?
No, I mean, you have to remember about Viola, she's an outsider.
Uh-huh.
She's come into a strange land, right? This island has an energy all of its own. This household has an energy all of its own. And Viola comes in very much as a stranger. So we get to see her sort of bounced around a little bit, but then take her own legs and navigate it on her own with her own mind.
And of course, she's working as a man, as you mentioned, but then as she's becoming enamored with her boss, then I guess we have the whole issue of, you know, of gender and does she get to reveal who she is and things like that. And is that, in a sense, one of the important operative things in the play of who we are?
Yeah, definitely. I would say that's primarily where I started was this idea of identity. And it's not just in Viola's story at all. I think the other main story it's in is with Malvolia and also even with Olivia, which is the other opulent young countess in the land.
Mm-hmm.
There's a sense of identity in everybody's story, really. Like, it starts with Viola, and I think that's what we attach it to the most because that's where it begins, but it's all over in this play.
Mm-hmm. And were you part of the group that chose this play, or was it chosen and then you were asked to direct it?
That's a great question. So initially, Josephine approached me because she had
Josephine
been
Keefe. Yeah.
Josephine Keefe, yes. Mm-hmm. We should all give great energy to this
Josephine.
Wonderful human.
Yes.
Great leader, and yeah, she's a wonderful artist. Josephine approached me that she had this relationship that she was talking about with the Mac and doing a show, and she approached me to direct it. And I said, I will if you will work with me, and we pick the play together. So Josephine and I actually chose the play together. There was, you know, a handful of things we were considering, and this is what we landed on.
And what were some of the various reasons to choose Twelfth Night?
Yeah, I think one of the things is we really wanted to offer our audiences a sense of joy and play after a year of so much sort of artistic drought, right? Mm-hmm. So many people were not able to go to music shows or theater shows or art museums, right? So we wanted to give them something that had some buoyancy to it that they could enjoy. And the second reason is really Twelfth Night, in terms of his scripts, is very cohesive. It's very easy to produce, which is why it's produced. There's not a lot of cutting you have to do. It's very complete. And then the third thing I think was some of the resonance with the themes of identity and sexuality and perception that I felt were really relevant. So that's sort of our three mm-hmm. determining factors.
And then there's, within any production of Shakespeare, there's the issue of, are we in 1600 or are we in 2100 or 2000 or whatever. For instance, there's several songs that are associated strongly with Twelfth Night, most famously the song, O Mistress Mine.
O Mistress Mine, where are you roaming? O Mistress Mine, where are you roaming? O stay and hear your true love's coming. O stay and hear your true love's coming. That can sing both high and low. Trip no further, pretty sweeting. Journey's end in lover's meeting. Every wise man's son doth know. Trip no further, pretty sweeting. Journey's end in lover's meeting. Every wise man's son doth know. What is love? 'Tis not hereafter. What is love? 'Tis not hereafter. Present mirth hath present laughter. Present mirth hath present laughter. What's to come is still unsure. In delay there lies no plenty. Then come kiss me, sweet and twenty. Youth's a stuff will not endure. In delay there lies no plenty. Then come kiss me, sweet and twenty. Youth's a stuff will not endure.
Thomas Morley's O Mistress Mine, which is one of the really famous songs from Shakespeare. But back to the director of this Twelfth Night, Chelsea Duvall, you're not using... let me ask it this way. How are you using the music of that's implied in this play?
Yeah, well, I should say I tried to cut it because I wanted nothing to do with it. I wanted it to really just be a dialogue. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes the bard has his way, and this is a play where the music is really important. Mm-hmm. So how I'm using it is as music is used, right, to create mood and communicate mm-hmm. certain themes. But yes, we're not using the text of Shakespeare. The music has been updated to sort of be more contemporary or fusion, to sort of serve more of the aesthetic, I think, that's created. And yeah, I could not for the life of me cut this music.
And so therefore the implication of what you just said, always that thing, you know, our... what costumes are you wearing? Or what date is it when you walk into the play, and all of the many issues mm-hmm. of, do you take the audience to the play or do you bring the play to the audience in terms of who we are?
Yeah, that's, you know, this is a great question that everyone has for me, and I always find it a bit challenging to answer, I suppose, because I think I approach world creating from a less literal place and more of a place of creating mood and atmosphere. So when you walk into the set, when you walk into the stage and you see the set upon it, It was designed to look a little bit more like a contemporary art installation, and it's all about color and shapes to evoke mood and like a feeling of pleasant fun. And what does that mean? Well, that means like time is irrelevant in this world. Like, it's really about the words and the stories that prevail over time. And costumes are a mix of contemporary and period pieces, but again, it's about providing and creating escape of joy and escape of play and clown. I think I am very influenced by clown in this production. And clowning is something that, even when you look at like Commedia dell'arte, which is very old form of clowning, right? There's still something so fresh about it. And clowning, if you look at the aesthetic through the years, its updates are very small. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not huge. It's not like going from Victorian costume to 1950s. So I really wanted to play with the energy and the color and the mood and the atmosphere more than I was interested in being like, here we are in Illyria in the Wild West in 1967.
So abstraction.
Yep.
In so many ways. So do you three actors, as she says that, and as you're delivering those fabulous words that Shakespeare created, how does that change? How are you doing your jobs relative to your acting? It looks like Dana has a thought going there.
I don't know if, for me at least, I don't know if having a specific time for it would truly change anything, because we really are pulling from the text. And what I kind of love about this production and the whole abstract quality and the look of everything is that I think a lot of times audiences get kind of scared of Shakespeare, because they're like, you know, what if I don't understand it? Like, it's really tough language. But like with our music and with our set and costumes and everything, I think it helps people find things that they connect with, things that they recognize, and they're like, oh, I know this, I like this, like I'm here for this, I'm interested, I'm invested.
A little bit like me being weirded out by the language, I heard. The thing a minute ago, Eli, were you thinking about?
To kind of play off of that, it provides a really nice escape to just watch just like pure acting and characters and not have to focus on this is the 19th century and it's also the Wild West, but it's Shakespeare, and not think of all these add-ons to it. It's costumes that fit these characters kind of regardless of their time, and a set that fits the play regardless of its time, and it just allows you to focus on the words, the language, and the people.
And Robert, did you?
I think every choice in, you know, costuming, music, scenic design in the show just helps facilitate the story for the audience, and I think that's the biggest thing, is that we're able to tell the story and play the story, and that's what makes these choices and these decisions that were made by Chelsea and all the designers so exciting, because we're not convoluting the message. It very much is, let's play, let's have fun.
I would say that's the sort of overarching feel of our production, is let's play. And what's really nice is that Chelsea has helped all of us, like in rehearsals and also in the space, remember that we're here to have fun and that we're here to play with each other.
Good. The actors of Twelfth Night, three of them we were just hearing from, Dana Salmond, and prior to that, Robert Tomberry, and prior to that, Eli Drishella, and the director of this, Chelsea Duvall. It opens tomorrow night, so it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday night at the MAC, the Museum of Arts and Culture, at 7 o'clock. And then on Sunday, it's at 5 o'clock. And the ticket information is all through the MAC, so one simply goes to the Museum of Arts and Culture's website. And I understood that Thursday was pretty heavily sold, was something they were saying, and so they were pushing the weekend a little bit more, was the information I got from them.
That is also what I've heard, yeah. I mean, just come.
Just come to the show.
Please.
So there's some very delightful Shakespeare coming along. So thank you to all of you. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you.